Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey, this is Achtung Millwall.
Down the middle. He's got Elliot overlapping him. Can he find him?
Yes! Oh, Jubilees! Halfway! Neil Gregory! Oh, Jubilees! Neil Gregory! The back is shining to the middle! Halfway! Roy's the game of death! Oh, yeah! What a game! What a game! What entertainment! What drama!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. A happy Christmas to you, listening around the globe, wherever you are on God's earth. Welcome to the Den. 26th of December, Boxing Day fixture against Reading. One of a trio of fixtures that will make or break our season, says Neil Harris. You can probably tell from the awestruck tones of my voice, there is a big screen to defy all big screens that's been fitted in the Den. And we're just watching live footage from the players' tunnel of the two teams, Millwall in their dark blue shirts, Lee Gregory on screen and some other character from Reading. Here they come in their white and blue hoops, traditional colours. Here come the two teams onto the pitch, dear listeners. So a critical fixture, Reading one place above us, I think, in the table at the moment, coming into today's fixture. Certainly we need a win, like a thirsty man needs a drop of water in the desert, dear listeners. After last week's loss 1-0 at Stoke, which I thought was an unlucky loss. Neil Harris felt it was unlucky, but we seem to be consistently, relentlessly unlucky all season. We didn't play too badly, but one defensive lapse cost us. We're going to do a little half-time coverage of that game last Saturday up there at the 365 Britannia Stoke City Stadium, whatever you want to call it. We've covered it at half-time, but no, one defensive lapse cost us, and we missed chance upon chance. So therein lies the story of the season, dear listeners. Harris has named an unchanged side from that started last Saturday in Stoke. So we've got Archer in goal, we've got Cooper and Hutchinson in the central defence, Romeo and Meredith on the left and right back position. In the middle, we've got Ryan Leonard and Tunnicliffe. The wing, Ferguson and Jed Wallace up front today. Tom Elliott, I thought, looked like a little lost lamb last week alongside Lee Gregory, so let's hope for better goal scoring, goal taking chances today. Apparently the new screen's been fitted by the same company that have introduced us to the wonders of the LED screens around the side of the pitch. Welcome to modern football. I can't bear it, but there we are. I'm sure people out there will be telling me I'm living in the past. So yeah, Neil Harris speaking to the News of Den says the next three games at home today to Reading, Forest on Saturday and away at Ipswich on New Year's Day will make or break our season. Some have said that he's set himself a hostage to fortune there with that remark, but I think it's probably realistic. As he said as well, unlucky last week at Stoke, we were unlucky, but we make our own luck in this game, and as he goes on to say in the News of Den piece, this is a results a winning results business. Very true, Neil, and we do need a win today. That much is for sure. Lions are going to be attacking the away end in accordance with common law since Anglo-Saxon times, consolidated into the Millwall Act 1873. So Reading will be attacking the cold blow in the first half. Lions attacking the away end. And away we jolly well go. I'm also sporting my own Christmas bought for me, Bezel watch. So I'm also going to be using it. Although we do have a stadium clock, quite a flash old screen. ADI.TV is the company. If you have the occasion to fit LED screens to show betting adverts, such as Sky Bet that's on at the moment, or should you need a gigantic screen to cover your back garden or some such. Very much a battle of the lost and lonely, Millwall versus Reading. I'm just checking my iPhone to see where we stand in the league table. Yep, Reading 21st on 19 points, Millwall on 22nd, also on 19, but with a minus two difference goals. You know what I mean, dear listeners, don't you? We're one place below them in the table, in the relegation pink zone. That's the only thing that matters. Lions forcing Reading all the way back on 1 minute and 49 seconds. Leonard's chasing down, done well, and the crowd respond. They like to see that. Referees penalise Leonard for that challenge on the yellow-clad goalkeeper, but that's good to see. Chase the man all the way back to the penalty area, and that's brought the crowd into it, as you can hear, early doors. Incidentally, as you'll hear from our half-time coverage up there at Stoke, the crowd, 1,500, 1,400 mil fans went up there. Immense support. This club, we may not be big in numbers, but Jesus Christ, you know when the Millwall fans are in the house, that much is for sure. It's immense support up there. Sunnycliffe concedes a free kick, clearly looking to press early on Reading. Under new management, I understand. I haven't got to hand the name of new manager because I don't fundamentally care who it is that manages them, but they've changed their manager from, was it Paul Clement? The ex-Bayern Munich manager who's disappeared without trace. They now have a new man in charge. A.N. Other is in charge of Reading. On the attack here at the moment on 3 minutes. So wishing you all a very happy Christmas, as I think I've said already. This will be the last show for a short while. I'm away for a couple of weeks after today's proceedings. So there'll be a little hiatus until probably about mid-January, actually, when I'm back in the game again. Probably, possibly, maybe for the Middlesbrough game away. So I'm going to wish you all happy New Year at this stage. Reading are on the attack. Let's hope that we don't make it too much of a happy day for them. They're passing the ball around just outside the Mill penalty area on 3 minutes coming towards the fourth minute. Will they have a pop? No, they're passing back and forth. They're finding a man in space on the right. We've been very vulnerable to this kind of approach. Still in possession. Right side of the penalty area. That ball's into first defender. And it's finally, after a fashion, hoofed clear, dear listener. 4 minutes. Tom Elliott drawing a free kick. I thought he was woeful. I can't be, you know, anything other than honest. In an actual reasonable performance by the Lions, I thought Elliott stood out as being particularly woeful. He's one of those games where he, as he has on occasion, looked just not championship standards. And I don't like to say that. I think he's a willing man and he has had his moments. But I'm hoping, but you're hoping too, dear listener, wherever you are, from Timbuktu to Trieste, from Toronto to Tahiti, that we move on our striking and also solidify the defence, because it's looked very fragile as well. So attack and defence, and probably we could sort out the midfield as well whilst we're at it. That's pretty much the entire side that needs to be strengthened in the January transfer window that looms next week. We do hope that the Millwall recruitment team have targets in mind, because if we don't, then I do fear that this will indeed turn out to be a relegation season. But let's not get too downbeat yet, because there's still 85 minutes of this game to play today. And Elliott draws another free kick there, clearly held from behind, about halfway inside the Reading half on 5 minutes. Right side free kick. Will be Shane Ferguson who's going to take a little sub story for the season. We might do like a 2018 review later after today's proceedings, and Shane Ferguson surely being one of the stories of 2018. Anyway, here comes the floated cross towards Hutchinson. He gets his head to it. It's off the line, headed down from Hutchinson into the path of Elliott. Scrambled off the line by the Reading defender. That's a nice move. First real chance, ball comes in on the big screen, headed down, and Elliott just can't get enough power. the ball on the volley actually as he was sliding forwards. That was a real chance there. Possession conceded. This is Ferguson inside the box. Gregory tried to dummy to find Leonard. Didn't work out. When that what kind of thing works well, it looks fantastic. And then today you look like the goat. Mars back in possession now. We're on a little bit of a roll moment. 6 minutes. All through. Finds Elliot. He gets clattered again from behind. Free kick on the right side of the penalty. Good bright start from Millwall. Clearly the manager's words about this being a make or break game for the season have been heard pre-match. So it's going to be a Millwall free kick. Jed Wallace will take. Probably about 2 or 3 yards short of the corner right side of the penalty area. 6 minutes, coming to 7 minutes on the in-stadium clock, sponsored by ADI TV and a consortium of betting companies, I dare say. It's going to be Wallace that takes. He takes a shot. 1-0, Jed Wallace straight from the free kick. Beautiful goal! Beautiful goal. Just what a tonic that the Lions needed. That's 1-0 Millwall. I want to see that on the replay. Direct shot from the free kick. A Jed Wallace special. Wait for the replay. Sponsored by Dean Wilson. Let's see it again from the free kick. Replay's a bit wobbly. Can't see the replay. Basically a shot from the right side free kick straight into the net. Beautiful shot, beautiful goal. That's Millwall 1-0 up in a critical fixture. Great start. And there you can hear the Jed Wallace song. There is the replay at last. Straight shot. Yeah, now beautifully. Right side of the goal as well, from the right side of the penalty area into in off close to the right side post. Beautiful take. Punching tackle on Wallace over on the right side. Crowd howling for the Reading player to go. He's got a red card. Red card straight off. Wallace has gone down injured. That's more worrying to me at the moment. The way we've opened up, we've been at them straight from the very start. That's a straight red for that challenge. Looked like it was over the top on Jed Wallace. Let's see how badly injured he is. The long, lonely trudge for the 26 for Reading. Wallace is on his feet, thankfully. He's having a few words with his manager. I don't think that's doing his Reading career any good. That was a mental challenge, given that you've still got 80 minutes of the game to go. They are one down, and they're clearly going to be up against it. But there's reduced his team to 10 men, so that's the measure of intellectual capacity of the Reading 26, whoever he is. So it's going to be a free kick for the Lions. It's floated in from the right. It's towards Jake Cooper, pushing. That does allow Jed Wallace back into the game, thankfully. Let's hope he's okay. Now, we do have a bit of a track record of not playing terribly well against 10 men. I'm sure you're aware of that out there in podcast world, dear listener. There's a long ball forwards towards Lee Gregory. That's hit too long. It does fall to Shane Ferguson. We're getting first to the ball, putting the tackles in. Ferguson takes a clatter. Gregory turns his man. That's going to go for a throw-in. Throw-in in the event. 11 minutes. So, yeah, we do have a bit of a track record of underperforming against 10 men. So let's hope we keep our wits about us and use the space that we've got now. We have space to play with. And if we can, move the ball around a little bit. And we've shown on occasion, I thought we showed last week at Stoke, that we can play some football when we choose to. Exploit said space. This is Wallace on the edge of the penalty area. A shot clatters into Tom Elliott, unfortunately. Wallace recovers. He looks like he wants it this afternoon. One honest player, Jed Wallace is. He takes his man on, roasts him. He pulled up. He pulled his man back there over on the right side as he was jinking past him. Pulled up by the linesman. 12 minutes. But what, just as I was praising his honesty, gave away a little tug on the defender. But anyway, at the Den we forgive such things, don't we, dear listeners? It's a nice screen. I was a bit churlish about the ADI TV screen. I hope that didn't come across in my comments earlier. It's a nice screen, and the picture sharpness is very good. It reminds me somewhat of when I used to manage on an estate in Hackney, and you go into people's flats, often quite short on space, some of these flats, and living rooms, which are already quite pokey, but actually dominated by the world's biggest TV screen, invariably showing Sky TV or perhaps one of the African or the Indian channels. Usually on a very loud volume when you're trying to talk about potential for their tenancy or rent arrears or some such, and you'd be trying to talk over a Bollywood song and dance routine or something of that kind. But it does have a little bit of a feel of that. But anyway, let's not be snobbish. actually, why not? Why not be snobbish? I think you're entitled to be snobbish. It's part of who I am. I think I will be snobbish on the TV front. It looks vulgar, Millwall. It's a grey damp day here in South Bermondsey. I know you like the weather report section, because I know a lot of you listen from various far-flung parts around the globe, and often in searing heat, 40-odd degrees in Australia or somewhere of that kind. Well, today it's a fairly cool grey skies, leaden grey skies. Cool day. Not cold, but cool. Fairly still. The flags are limp in what little breeze there is, but it's the lights are shining on the emerald green pitch brilliantly as the floodlights illuminate the gathering dusk. I went all poetic there, dear listeners, didn't I? But why not? Why not go all poetic? I think there should be more poetry in this world like that. A little bit of a kerfuffle online with one or two internet Twitter voices, because I described last week's performance at Stoke, which was a loss, but I described it as a battling performance, and some people, I gather, didn't go to the game, took issue with they're trying to put I don't know if I was trying to put a positive spin on it. I wasn't trying to put a positive spin on it. I was just going to say that, but I wasn't. I was actually describing what I saw. And it fascinates me online. I get a lot of it on Twitter. People who haven't been to the game taking issue when you describe the what you've actually seen. Like they want you to describe something else. People try to make it to be shit. This is the Lions on the break. This is Ferguson trying to find Wallace on a little through ball. It falls to Tammy Cliff. It's gone for a corner on the right side. That was clipped off the 18. Little moment there. Lions are trying to work the space. So yeah, people taking issues, asking if I'm part of the club's media PR department, the kind of the troll factory that is Millwall FC, trying to put positive spins on everything. I just want to say for the record, I am your traditional fanzine man. I have no ties whatsoever to Millwall Football Club. I pay for my own ticket, and the opinions you hear on this podcast are my own entirely. And if I see a good performance, that's a header down on the line again from Sean Hutchinson from the corner. This is now Ferguson on the left. Ball floated back in. That's going to be cleared by Reading. Lions looking to turn the screw on them. Nicely so as well. 17 minutes gone. 18 minutes coming up on the clock. So yeah, the opinions you'll hear on this show will always be my own. If you agree with them, fine. If you don't disagree with them, I'm very sorry about that. But that's what's called free speech, isn't it, dear listeners? Enough of a lecture. Lions coming down the right side, right wing. That ball into the box. There's Tom Elliott. That's clattered off the Reading defender again from another right side. Colder Lions really on the front foot at the moment, dear listeners. It's going to be Ryan Leonard that takes this right sided corner. Coming towards the 19th minute. Leonard will float it deep, deep, deep. He's trying to find Hutchinson, who finds him. This falls to Lee Gregory on the line. Does overhead scissor kick. That's gone for a left sided corner. Relentless pressure at the moment from Millwall. We have to make this pay with a second goal, the critical second goal. It's taken short. Tony Cliff has got Ferguson on inside of him there. Will he throw the ball? It's a long over the heads of everybody, sadly. Long cross. If it was meant as a shot or a cross, I think it was meant as a cross, but it kind of angled in as though coming for the ball. Actually, it wasn't that far away, actually, in fairness to Shane Ferguson. Ferguson, little jinky run, nicely done. 22 minutes, ball forwards towards Elliott. Crowd howling. I don't think the goalkeeper left the area there as that ball went through. The crowd howling for it. 23 minutes. Reading trying to press forward, searching for an equaliser goal that they would regard as valuable on a day like this with down to 10 men. They're finding some space. Here they come down the right flank, but Cooper is there with his long legs that puts that into touch, I think. A little bit of pressure from Reading at the moment as we just go past the 25th minute of the game. Lions, of course, haven't won since late October, so this will be a welcome relief if we can keep even this scoreline to the 90th minute. Reading keeping possession quite well for a 10-man side. They've got a man in space over on the right, if they can be found. They've not seen him, but the Lions are getting pulled around a little bit at the moment, which is a worrying sight. It's a long ball wide right. They do see him in the end. He couldn't control. Meredith is in there, does well. Where do you stand, dear listener, on the Ben Thompson issue? Should we be bringing Ben Thompson back from Portsmouth. He's doing very, very well there, isn't he? They're top of the table. I think he's gone online and said that we'd like to see the season out there. I understood it was a season-long loan with some kind of break clause, perhaps, to bring him back in January. I think we should bring him back, personally. I mean, his wishes are second to what the club need. And I think that was partially said as a bit of a early PR from Ben Thompson, that if he does come back, he wants to play. And I think that's fair enough, because what we've lacked a lot in this jagged season is that spark in midfield, the person that makes stuff happen. That is Ben Thompson. He seems to be doing well there at Pompey. He seems to be playing that role there, you know, with aplomb, and they're top of the table at the moment, so he's enjoying his football. You can tell that by his Twitter posts. So, yes, I would bring him back. We have need of him. He's a Millwall player, and you know, unless things turn around rapidly over the next few games or so, and I can't see why we'd leave him at Portsmouth for the rest of the season, really, when, you know, the HMS Titanic is sinking. It's like ignoring a lifeboat, isn't it? Or leaving one of the life belts hooked up on the side whilst the band plays as the ship sinks. So, Fred Onyedinma, less so. I think Fred has had many chances to prove himself, and I think he probably is at his rightful home now of Wickham. But Ben, that doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right that Ben Thompson is at Portsmouth when our midfield has been so slapdash this season. So, yeah, I'm for bringing him back. Elliot winning more balls in the air today than he did last week, which is good. And clearly, the opponents are inferior compared with last week at Stoke. The ball angled there for Lee Gregg. That's scored out by the Reading defender there. But no, he's doing better today, Tom Elliott. Clearly, though, we lack quality in attack. Steve Morrison talking on News at Den in the week about his interest in what takes place in the January sales loan period, whatever you want to call it. Morrison also angling for another contract. I don't think we can afford to lose him, even though it's nicely chased down there by Tom Elliott. He got the ball and the referee's given a free kick. Lions just conceding possession a little cheaply with our clearances. Thankfully we've recovered there, but that was a clearance by Marlon that went straight to a Reading player. We're playing the long ball, as you can detect from the comment around me. Just looking at the big screen, and I'm reminded of the first colour telly we ever had as kids, which was the old man had expensive taste. When he was working, he worked shop fitting, and when he was working, money was flush. When he wasn't working, we were broke. Anyway, the 1974 World Cup was looming, and he decided that it was high time that we joined the ranks of the the Mottingham colour television sets. There was only a few people on the estate that actually had colour TV in the early 70s. Most of them still black and white. So anyway, rather than just go to one of the rental companies or anything as low class as that, the old man went to a place in Bromley. I think it was called Sound Systems. Kind of specialist hi-fi TV store, and came back with a Bang & Olufsen TV. But it was the bollocks, basically. It must have spent thousands on this thing. And this was 1974. I used a website once where they kind of give you the values of things in the past, values of money in this, in the years gone past, what it is now. This was about £8,000 of a telly he came home with in modern terms. Spent a couple of £1,000 on it, I think. And it was beautiful. I mean, even now, if you want my personal high bar of television, it still remains my Bang & Olufsen. And I called it my. Did you notice that? The B&O, from which we watched the 1974 German World Cup, West Germany World Cup, which was in crisp definition. And we were in a super aerial up in the loft, pointed straight at Crystal Palace. And the definition was, by the standards of our day, mind-blowing, because previously you had like an indoor aerial that you had to stick on top of the curtain rack to get half a picture on. So, yeah, the old B&O telly, the old man got that screen, the ADI TV in the den, that reminds me of that. It's been a scrappy game, in all honesty. Lions have been pinned back a little bit by the possession play of Reading. We're very much looking to sit back and absorb it and hit them on the break with a long ball, which, as we're 1-0 up, I will forgive, and because needs must when the devil drives, dear listeners. Ball flowed in from the right. Reading not doing a bad job of making up for their one-man loss with pace and movement. They clearly have other issues in the team. Millwall bring away from a midfield tackle there. Reading, a couple of bodies flying around. There's a Millwall man down. It looks like they're a battlefield out at the moment, but the Lions do have the ball on the right side. 40 minutes. Ball's flowing in towards Gregory. He takes beautifully mid-air. He really is a talented player, Lee Gregory. He's really come on strong since he joined us in 2014. The ball in now, punted in the end towards Ferguson. It's put behind for a corner on the left-hand side. All bodies are up and moving around, you'll be pleased to hear. It's going to be Shane Ferguson that takes the left-sided corner. It's in deep, and Elliot gets his head up, it's high over the bar. 41 minutes. Did you enjoy your Christmas, dear listeners? I kind of love Christmas and hate Christmas all in one emotion. Does that sound familiar to you? We had a deluge of food around at my mother and father-in-law's yesterday. Finishing up, obviously, with late-night charades over cheese and biscuits and whiskey, as is the custom. Bit of a slow start today, so I wasn't quite with it. I probably could have done without a football today in some ways, but now I'm here. Fabulous. Especially as we're winning 1-0. Coming towards the 42nd minute of the game. Yeah, so love-hate Christmas for me. I don't know how you feel, dear listeners. Everything I love, I also kind of hate, and well, for that very reason. That sounds rather Freudian, doesn't it? I think I'll just let that pass, that thought. Otherwise, it will stick in my head. I rather like the Germans in Case Red, invasion of France, surging down the right flank. Long ball falls, it's caught by Elliot. It bounces, and it... Gregory almost chases the goalkeeper down there, bravely comes out and collects in the face of a boot in the face, and there's the half-time whistle with that incident. A good first half for the Lions overall in terms of the scoreline. I think we've rather sat back at times, if I'm going to be honest, and absorbed pressure that played into Reading's hands. We come off the pitch a goal to good. They've passed the ball around a lot with no great execution at the end of it, but... as it is, the Lions will regard themselves as having the upper hand. Half-time, Millwall 1, Reading 0. We're going to cut up back to last Saturday for my report on the game, the 1-0 loss at Stoke, and we'll be right back after that rundown.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Well, hello, good afternoon, welcome, dear listeners. Welcome to the romantically named Bet365 Stadium, formerly known as the Britannia Stadium, Stoke City's ground, for the visit of the Lions to Stoke today. I'm going to do a little bit of a cameo coverage of this Saturday before Christmas game. We're mashing it up with our Boxing Day coverage of the Mill versus Reading game. Suffice to say that Lions come in this critical fixture very much on the on their downers. Third from bottom, desperate for a win. A defence that looks more porous than a sponge. But even so, 1,400 Lions fans have made the journey up the M1, myself included, to Stoke-on-Trent. So, the club cannot complain at the passion of the support here today. It's actually my first visit to this stadium. I've been to the old ground, the Victoria ground, but this is my first time here, unbelievably. It's your bog standard single-tiered modern built stadium with one double tier stand to our left. I'm near the front of the away end. I walked all around the stadium trying to find my way in. I've just seen the team notes. I'll read them out to you before kick-off, dear listeners. Here come the teams, as you can gather. Lions wearing their all dark blue kit today, led out by Hutchinson. There's Archer, Meredith, Tony Cliff in the team. That'll please Harry, Jake Cooper, Molon Romeo, Ryan Leonard, Ferguson, Marvin Elliott, Tom Elliott, Lee Gregory, Ryan Tunnicliffe starting. There's your Lions team, dear listeners. It's Delilah by Tom Jones, theme song, obviously, of Stoke City. We'll recall that. I know you like a little bit of local colour in your coverage of these games. There we go. My mum hated Tom Jones. She knows very few people in her life, but Tom Jones is one of her private hate figures. She loathed and despised Tom Jones, who kidded his old mutton. He kidded his old mutton with his string of lady friends around Las Vegas and the USA. Dear old mum, God bless her. Good applause for Jill Nard as he comes towards the home end. Lions will be attacking the Boothan end, sponsored by Staffordshire University. So in the second half, we're coming to the away end. We'll be rejoining the action some point mid-half. Lyons inside the first minute, ball in from the right side from Jeb Wallace. Stumbled around inside the area, but eventually goes wide left for a Millwall corner. I did say I'd come back at any high points, but we're going to stay with the action. There's a corner on the left side, so I might as well stay with this one. Good early start from the Lyons. It's lofted in from Shane Ferguson, it's headed away. I think that'll be the end of that. Good early chance for Lyons. That was a scoring chance. 21 minutes, 0-0. Lyons holding their own very well at the moment, dear listeners. Best chance for Millwall came in the first minute. Unfortunately, a scramble chance that went just wide of the left post. Stoke had a lot of possession. Nothing clear-cut so far. Lyons doing their best to press up, and they had a couple of moments of break. Neither side's had a clear-cut chance, but at the moment, 0-0. Lyons doing well in this inconsistent season. We're going through one of our good phases at the moment. We're probably going to wait the bad and the ugly bit later on in the game. But at the moment, 0-0. 22 minutes on the clock there, listeners. Fantastic support for the Lions. 25, 26 minutes on the clock. 0-0. You can have a listen to the travelling support for a moment, dear listeners. Featuring the Bet365 stating what real support sounds like. Fantastic. Half-time, 0-0 here at the Bet365 Stadium in Stoke. A fighting performance by the Lions, increasing pressure from Stoke as the half wore along for me, but a battling performance by Millwall. Best chances falling to the Lions. That early minute chance for ball in from Jeb Wallace across the face of the goal in the scuffle. And then another chance about halfway through the first half for Lee Gregory, volleyed wide. Great fighting performance by the Lions. Stoke. And some comment for James McLean as he leaves the pitch, as you can hear. I think they disagree with his political stance. Let's put it that way. 0-0. Stoke 0, Millwall 0. Half time in Stoke, and you get to listen to this song, possibly the worst Christmas song ever made. Do you agree with that, dear listeners? There are some shockers around, and there are some good ones, but this is surely one of the worst ever made by Paul McCartney, simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Absolute dire shit. So both teams out for the second half. The listeners, as far as I can see, no changes for the Lions. It's going to be Stoke City that will kick us off, attacking the Boothland end, a home end. So Millwall will be coming at the away fans in the second half. No changes. I thought that was a good fighting performance in the first half. We did squander two good chances. But if we keep creating chances like that, then at some point, one has to go in for us. But we did come under a little bit of pressure as the half wore along. So the second half is underway. I'm going to be reporting back to you about midway through the half and then at full time. So speak to you in a bit. 60 minutes, goal for Stoke City, as you can hear. Ball in from the right-hand side, headed home from close range. That's tough on the Lions. It's been a fighting performance, battling performance. A fairly basic goal to concede, in all honesty, for Rahino. Scored it. That's a gutting blow for the Lions. 1-0 on 60 minutes. Going for 67 minutes. I can indeed confirm that was pretty much a free header for Stoke City there. Doug confirmed it. Watching in Sweden, and they're just showing it on the replay inside the stadium here. So poor defending once again lets down the Lions, the story of the season. Other than that, it's been a fighting performance, but now we're a goal behind. We do feel like we are at the foothills of the Himalayas with Mount Everest in front of us. There is full time. Stoke City 1-0, another poor result. One defensive error has really cost us today, dear listeners. Overall, I thought it was a fairly battling performance by Lyons. We looked a lot better once Steve Morrison came into it halfway through the second half, but defensive lapses are costing us points game by game now. And that, I'm just watching the replay as I'm talking to you. An unchallenged header inside the 6-yard box equals a goal at this level, and unfortunately that's what's doing our league position no good at all. So there we are. As you can hear, Lions fans applauding their team off, because overall it wasn't a bad show, but yet another bad result for Millwall. Stoke City 1, Millwall 0.
Achtung, Millwall.
Welcome back from Stoke, dear listeners. Team's out for the second half. Millwall will be attacking the Coldblow Lane end in the second half. Leading by 1-0, that Jed Wallace free kick. Well taken goal in the first half, in a dead ball situation. rather sat back once we got the lead, as is our wont often. But hopefully we'll press on in this second half. We want to see a second goal go in now, and away we go. This is Mill pressing down the right side early on in the half. A little ball in from Elliott finds Jed Wallace, who unfortunately couldn't quite get enough control on it to get any power into a shot. It's gone wide inside the first 30 seconds of the second half. Nice work, Jed Wallace, on 46. Dispossesses the 10 on the right side. A little break forwards for Mill. His ball into the box hits the first defender, sadly. Over by the right side corner, facts is Elliott. The momentum's slightly gone from that break forwards there, but Jed had no one to pass to very easily. Yes, it's going to be a throw in for Mill, about halfway inside the Reading half. The Biscuit Men, as I always think of them, old traditional nickname, should be making a comeback. None of this Royals business. The Biscuit Men. That's going to go through for a corner. No, the goalkeeper did enough to save a corner as it flicked off the Reading defender there. Short throw in, he's put the goalkeeper immediately under pressure from Ryan Leonard, who's chased him. Well, maybe he's. Like maybe Ryan Ned has heard some of my stinging criticisms. I've not felt he's matched up to the potential that I expected him to have. And he certainly put himself about a little bit more today, so perhaps he tunes into Akdung Millwall, and perhaps he's heard my stinging criticism, and perhaps he's thought he's going to, you know, show me a what for. I do hope so. 47 minutes. Lions still only this slender one-goal lead. I know that Reading are down to 10 men, but it's not noticeable. And here they come down the left at the moment as we tip towards the 50th minute. The 43 is going to get the ball into the box. That's headed clear by Sean Hutchinson. Rather inviting pressure onto ourselves, as has been too often the case. 43 shoots straight down the belly of Jordan Archer. Safety there, 50 minutes. I do think there's a reality check at times. I mean, going back to my online kerfuffle with one or two on Twitter last Saturday, we do have to keep in mind our resource levels compared with many other teams in this division. That's not to say the team can't be better organised or players expected to perform better. I do expect both. That comes down to the manager and his deficiencies, or what, as the case may be, well, his pluses and his minuses, shall we say. This is Meredith over on the left. The ball's going to come in from Ferguson into the near post. That's headed clear. It falls to Ryan Leonard, who takes it first time. Volley. Shot wide, as you can detect, 51 minutes. Nice volley from the edge of the penalty area, but always angling wide right. I just don't think, I mean, Neil Harris does have more credit in the bank than many other managers, and I think that, you know, we have to be respectful of the fact of who he is and what he represents. He does have a glittering playing career. He's got a pretty good managerial record, in all honesty, on resources that other teams, you know, would laugh at. That's good. That's put out in defence by Reading. That's poor play. Could be a Mill throw halfway inside the Reading half. So I'm not forsaking him. It would kind of break my heart to see Neil Harris leave in ignominy. I know that all football careers, like politicians, end in failure at some stage, but it would it just don't seem right to me to get, you know, to lose him at this critical stage of the season. Many people would disagree with that, and you know, you're entitled to your viewpoint, but what the team isn't is shit, as many people have tried to have me say last week. That it's not a shit side. Potentially, it's a better side. It's my view, my opinion. Disagree with it as you see fit. Mill punting it, hopefully forwards, aimlessly forwards, probably a better description. Reading being allowed to come into a game they really shouldn't be part of. Letting ourselves get pinned back again, dear listeners. It's frustrating to see. It's been a very frustrating season, but this is typical of what we've seen over the course of the 3 months. So, more lack of on-field leadership, in my opinion. No one seems to take control. It balls into the near post. That's headed clear by Tom Elliott, and Jordan Archer's urging his defenders to clear their lines, and they do splay out at last. 55 minutes. Darkness fully descending now at this short time of, you know, short day time of the year. In comes Steve Morrison for Tom Elliott. I think that's the right call on 56 minutes. Clearly having to nurse Morrison over the, you know, the new year period. A lot of games in a short period of time. And it's not done badly. One more headers. I don't think he's good enough. But he's done okay today. I would hope and praying to the deity I don't believe in that we make a signing to get some goals up front, because that is what's separating us from so many teams. I've not seen that many great defensive sides in this league, but you do see teams that take their chances, and that's what we've not done. 57 minutes, dear listeners. We looked a lot better when Aidan O'Brien and Steve Morrison came on last week at Stoke. Last Saturday, not last week. All forwards there, not finding a man. But no, we improved a lot once Morrison came into the game. I know that he's apparently looking for another year's contract from Mill. I'd give it to him. I can't think of us we're going to acquire with the same degree of leadership and nous and, you know, just willingness to take chances. Here they come, edge of the Mill penalty area. They're finding space for a 10-man side. They're doing quite well to find their man in wide positions. And Lee Gregory draws a free kick. Will take some of the pressure off of Millwall. Self-inflicted pressure. Reading keeping their passing style. It has had us in a spot of trouble. They haven't carved out a single clear-cut chance, but they've had a lot of possession and a lot of ball in and around our half in this second period. So, you know, one always fears the worst when you're at Millwall and teams are doing this to us. We're very much sitting back trying to absorb the pressure and hit them on the long ball. But yeah, it's been a grindy game in some ways. Morrison draws a free kick on the halfway line, just as Gregory's looking to break forwards there. It's not been the greatest performance, but we're at the stage of the season now where, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's pretty or not, we just want to get the result. So at this stage, halfway through the second half, leading 1-0, we'll take that all day long, dear listeners. Hoof clear by Jordan Archer. I think that Reading have identified lack of pace at the Mill back line as being a weapon they can exploit. And they've put the ball over the top a few times in the second half. Cooper concedes a free kick over there. I think he clattered his man there, so it's going to be a free kick. Just wired right of the D, about 25 yards out. We need to stay focused as we enter the danger zone for Millwall matches this season, the last 20 minutes. I don't think too far for a shot. So I'm expecting a cross. It is a shot. It's a crossbar. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Famous last words from me. That was a dipping shot. Hit the crossbar. Unlucky Reading. 71 minutes. We could use a second goal, Dennis. No, I don't know if you can sort that out wherever you're listening. If you can sort out a second goal, we'll be eternally grateful to you right now. Well, entree Aidan O'Brien. Jed Wallace coming out of the game. Aidan O'Brien coming in as a replacement. Okay. He's been our most creative force for us this afternoon. He's goal scorer. He's put 100% effort into it. He's getting good applause, as you can hear. My man of the match, Jed Wallace. I imagine this is trying to rest him. Another game looming up on Saturday against Nottingham Forest. Aidan O'Brien coming in. Always looks disappointed to come out of a game, Jed Wallace. I like that in a player, don't you, dear listener? Listeners? Some will call that a conservative call by Neil Harris. This has been one of the criticisms of him this season. We've looked at our best when we've gone on the attack, and we've looked at our most fragile when we've tried to sit back, and that conservative call there may come back to haunt him. 76 minutes. I hope it doesn't, of course. Like I've said earlier on, I think I've set my stall out on the Neil Harris question, but that's one of the criticisms of him. And it's a valid criticism. Don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm blind to what's gone wrong this season. I just don't think the club's best served by changing managers mid-term. As many are calling for that, and I think it'd be folly. I don't know who we're going to bring in that's going to turn things around. We have to find a solution with the group that we've got at the moment. Take a view in the summertime. Now, if that's a view from League One, then people will come back to me and say, you know, more for you. But I can't see another way forwards at this point. Anyway, 79 minutes, they're on the attack here. This is edge of the Mill penalty area, back and forward again. It's a 27 now on the left. Ball into the box. That's hesitancy by Jordan Archer. Hesitancy in defence. Get the ball clear, please, dear listeners. Can you help? Mill making a meal of this, I've got to say. As you can hear, comment free and easy around me. And that's finally a foot in from Shane Ferguson. Gives Steve Morrison a chance to break forwards. He finds Lee Gregory. No one with him. Final 10 minutes of the game. It's going to be a fraught 10 minutes, to be absolutely honest with you, dear listeners. We've really let Reading come back at us. And we've sat back behind the ball to a degree that I just find baffling. I know we're leading 1-0 and it's all about the result, and it's a results business, as Neil said in the week. But we've really invited them on, let's put it that way. Here they come again on the left of our penalty area, 27. Trying to play the ball, they're trying to play their way for our defence. They clearly see that as a possibility. That's a clattered shot. That's going to run through. It's going to go for a goal kick. Dear listeners, at 84, we just want the referee to fast forward the last 6 or 8 minutes or so, whatever we're going to get, and have done with the whole matter. It's at that point in proceedings now. It's getting cold and damp, and you just want to go home. You just want to get the win under your belt and go on. Coming towards 87, just passed, coming towards 87 and a half minutes. So, another sending off, a second yellow. I've missed that as a red card shown. I don't know what for. A second yellow, I'm going to guess. Incredible, two sendings off now for Reading. I didn't see that incident at all. I apologise, she's got to go. That player's been quite dangerous. 27. Well, this is all about the result, dear listeners. I mean, this has been a scruffy game. A poor performance in many respects by the Lions, which sounds a bit odd given that we're leading it with just minutes to go against a nine-man Reading. But it's been a scruffy old performance, but it is all about the 3 points. Presumably we can actually negotiate the final seconds of the game. There it is! Thank Christ for that, dear listeners. That was a win that is much needed. First time since October, late October. We rode our fortune there with two sendings off. Shot from Reading hit the crossbar. That wasn't the greatest performance, but in the end, who gives a shit? It's 3 points against a relegation rival that should take us up the table. Well done, Millwall, for grinding it out. And I hope you enjoyed my in-game stream of consciousness. So we'll be back after these messages.
It's the Lucas Ball Report.
Well, it took a couple of hours to digest that one, and looking back at it, you know, it's not the best result for Millwall, is it, in trophy hours? Right, it's a 1-0 victory. You know, much needed 3 points. First win since October the 27th, but you've got to be putting teams like Reading away, especially when they're down to 10 men for 80-odd minutes, and then for the last 7, including injury time, they're down to 9. You know, we've got to score more goals against sides like that. Yeah, okay, we kept a clean sheet as well, first time since the same date as the win, October the 27th, and also only the third clean sheet of the season. Which is, yeah, it's a big thing, and a much-needed clean sheet, mainly thanks to some excellent defending from Jake Cooper throughout the game. Sean Hutchinson wasn't at his best today. James Meredith, in the second half, was back at it slightly more than he has been for the majority of this season. Didn't get beaten one-on-one too often. In terms of overall pace today, I think Jed Wallace started the game really well, opening 15 minutes or so, really threatening, absolutely tearing up his fullback, and then he started to play more central and left Marlon Romeo a bit exposed at times. Also meant that Marlon didn't have as much on for him down the line, which that pass was on 90% of the time. And, you know, we could have made much more of that if Jed had stayed a bit wider, I think. Tom Elliott, again, didn't offer a lot up front, which is a shame. But Steve Morrison also, you know, you see the lack of pace that Lee Gregory played him through. And like for the majority of players, that had been one-on-one, but his lack of pace allowed two players to recover and the chance was gone. And, you know, especially the way Reading tried to play out from the back and they were dangerous with it, they weren't brilliant. And, Yokoda wasn't comfortable at all with the ball at his feet. A couple of challenges in on him because he played around with it for too long at the back. But, you know, Millwall have got to make more of those opportunities. And if they play like that again today, I think they're going to struggle to get a... if they play like that again on Saturday, I think they're going to struggle to get a result against Forest on Saturday, unfortunately. But... what can you do? Need the January window quickly and as soon as possible, really. Get some new faces through the door, add some more competition for places, and hopefully that'll see a pick-up in results and performances alike. Come on, you Lions.
Achtung, Mehlball.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, good afternoon, one and all. Welcome to the Sunday morning nightmare. Today being recorded on a Thursday afternoon, in actual fact, because of the Christmas holidays. Reviewing yesterday's game to a degree, to be absolutely honest with you, dear listeners, that was as grim an experience at Millwall as I think I've seen in a long time. I'm trying to think back to, in some respects, a more incompetent performance, which all sounds very harsh, doesn't it, when, you know, as Neil Harris said prior to the game, that this is a results business, and as he said post-game, it wasn't our best performance, which you can say again, Neil, but that was a cup final today, and I kind of get what, you know, Sean Williams apparently said this in the dressing room, that this was a cup final. Millwall versus Reading on Boxing Day was a cup final because of the fact we hadn't won for so long, and we've slipped into the danger zone. It is a results business. That was a win, all well and good, but Jesus Christ almighty, it was hard, grinding viewing, given that we were playing 10 men, which, as I think I said in the stream of consciousness, we always seem to struggle for reasons that baffle me, dear listeners. Why is it that Millwall, and this is not just Neil Harris, this is a historic thing, in my opinion, I've never known us play well against 10 men. Can you think of any situations where we've done well against 10 and then in the end, yesterday, against 9? Even at 9, I still wasn't sitting comfortably in my seat in the West Upper, high up. I was still shifting buttock to buttock, and I bet you were too if you were in the ground, possibly following it on the internet. So it was bloody hard work watching us make Reading with 10 men look like Berkshire's Barcelona, as I posted on the Twitter. Now, you can say that was all about the result. Yes, it was. That's the only thing that gets recorded. But I do, as I said in the stream, I'll say it again now, I want Neil Harris to succeed more than any other manager that I can think of in a long time. He carries such depth of emotion at the club. We all know the Neil Harris story inside out. We all remember the big moments of the Neil Harris career. And as a manager too, he's done really well for us. Let's not forget where he started out from. Let's not forget the debacle that was the Lomas and then Holloway era, and the utter mess that he took over and came, you know, did a close job of saving us in from relegation. Couldn't quite do that, but has got us back up into the Championship. Via the playoffs. It's been, you know, and also we've, you know, just looking at last season's results, you know, we really did beat a series of Premier League sides, and then we really did go on that unbeaten run. I'm just looking at it at the moment. I'll come back to the year of 2018 once I've done my little rant. But, you know, he's achieved great things for the club. But at the moment, it's really, really tough. We are struggling. And I think hardest of all is it's hard to see where the spark is going to come from. Now, I just want to read through a few tweets. You probably read them all online already. So my post yesterday, which I wrote in the aftermath of the game, as I was coming home in a car, well, I wasn't driving. Any listening, police officers? I was pulled up when I typed this out on the phone. Gordon Bennett, I said, what a grind of a game. A win is a win and all that. But as I've just said, I thought we allowed a poor Reading to look like Berkshire's answer to Barcelona. No one wants to see Neil Harris succeed more than me, and I bet you too, dear listener. It's going to be a rare Millwall fan that wants him to fail. But sitting back and allowing teams like Reading to come at us, as we did, once we went in front, we just sat back. And I say that's naive. I said that yesterday on Twitter, and I'll say it to you again now in your ear roll. It's naive play. I don't believe and I don't buy the idea that we don't have the players to do better than what we did yesterday. There are flaws in that team, and we can go through the whole side and pick out perhaps only apart from Jed Wallace, and I'd argue Lee Gregory yesterday up front. Otherwise, you could probably replace any of those players and not be too fussed about it if you did. But I don't buy the idea that we can't do any better than what we saw yesterday, because it was a case of self-harm, rather like Brexit. Ha ha! Bit of politics for you there. But it was self-inflicted damage yesterday. And we don't have to be, we won't beat many of the best teams in the league, but we can compete against the average, and there's a lot of average sides. I'm just looking at a couple of replies to my post yesterday. Charles Efford couldn't agree more with me. The team don't seem to like the style. We don't like it either. Fans, he means. And we're near the bottom of the table because of the style. How many more times have we dropped points or lost from winning positions? I agree totally with you, Charles. We sat back. We hit the long diagonal. When we play football, when we have played football, I'm thinking of a few games this season, in moments, in flashes, we look like a side that would at least expect to finish in the middle to bottom half of the middle, phase of the league. I don't buy the idea that we have to settle for a relegation grind, but we will settle for it by sitting back and trying to defend one goal leads. Great free kick yesterday. You've probably seen it by the time this show goes out, so I'm not going to try and analyse the game yesterday, but that was a Jed Wallace strike from his top draw. Stephen Colmill replies back to me and says he thinks that we lack confidence. Absolutely, we also lack quality and leadership. If we don't change, nothing will change. I like that phrase. If we don't change, nothing will change, except the division that we're in, and that will be Division 1, says Stephen Colmill. I'm going to like that comment because I agree with that. The long diagonal ball played well and played with the right players. Yeah, OK, but we lack pace up front. Jesus Christ, don't we lack pace. Tom Elliott, I'm crying for you, Tom, because I think you're probably a very likeable bloke, and I know you're a willing bloke, but the lack of quality, mate, we can't continue with Tom Elliott. We just won't get the goals, and if we don't get the goals, dear listener, we're going downwards. Tom Elliott has to be replaced in the January period. If we don't replace Tom Elliott, and I don't particularly dig him out as a person, he's playing to the best of his ability, but that ability is League 2, League 1, and we're up against championship-level defences, and it's only going to get harder for us as the season goes along. Jim Nash, old friend of mine, Jim Nash, nobody really rated Saville as a £7 million player, but we really could do with his goals from midfield. Midfield, another issue, Jim. I agree with you, mate. Ultimately, getting back on the Oldham and Rochdale trail at the moment, I think that's what he means there. At the moment, we're getting back on the Oldham and the Rochdale trail. Getting relegated, as Jim puts rightly, will cost us a whole lot more than spending, to acquire the players that will save us. I think that's a very strong point. Santa Todd Slayride makes an ironic comment that we always play well against Forest. I hope that cue the Twitter post that bites me on the arse, he says. I do hope so, Santa. Michael Wills says, I just think we lack confidence and depth. The fact he's getting the tune at all out of this threadbare squad should be applauded. Yes, true, Michael. And Steve Morrison for Michael looks done at championship level when he came on. I'm not so sure that he's done at championship level. I take your point, Michael. I think that when Steve Morrison comes on, even if he's carrying a hobble and he's aged, care home pass card, when he does come on, we look to suddenly have more structure. He brings leadership, the thing that we've lacked all season. Carnaby Rob says, dreadful game, the end of sentence. Good job Reading decided to commit football suicide today. He's not even going to contemplate Forest. And finally, Grumpy Grimace, always one of my favourite posters, he says that we look like a team devoid of confidence. Not looking to play a forward pass when it's on. Preferring the pass back to Cooper to pump forwards. Reading look sharper and we don't have to give them time on the wing, says Grumpy. I agree with all of those sentiments. Chaps, I know that we've had a debate online, mentioned it in the live piece, about my desire not to sack Harris, but that is a desire tempered with also another desire that we start to play a little bit more football, because when we do play football, in the opening phase, there was the opening 10 or 15 up until we got the goal, we didn't look too bad. We've played in phases not too bad, and the way that we play not too bad is to be Millwall, is to get behind the, get players ahead of the ball, get the ball far out to the wings and play at zip and speed and get the ball into the box. Raise the temperature of the den. Sitting back yesterday was not going to bring the crowd into proceedings. It didn't. It just made you become ever more aware as the game wore along of how damp and cold it was. Miserable game. A win, but that's a bit like having a tepid cup of tea on a cold day. It'll just about keep you warm for the moment, but won't do you any long-term good. Now, enough of yesterday's misery. I thought it might be nice just to have a quick run through 2018. A year that's quite strange. In many ways, a Millwall year summed up in 12 months, really. So I thought I'd just have a quick look at the Millwall History website to run through some of the highlights and lowlights of 2018. One of the lowlights was, strangely, 1 year ago, pretty much to the day, as I recall these words, which was Monday, January 1st, 2018, away to Norwich City. We entered that game in 15th position in the Championship. An okay Christmas, a few wins under our belt as we went to Norwich, Carrow Road. We'd not long beaten QPR in, the apocalyptic night against in Holloway. It's more apocalyptic outside the ground than it was inside. But anyway, we'd had a 1-0 win on the 29th, which must have been a Friday, wouldn't it? And then we've gone to Carrow Road on the Monday, the January the 1st, and contrived to get beat 2-1, having led 1-0 at half-time. A Morrison goal on the stroke of half-time to send us into the dressing room buzzing, and then to have the old cold punch in the jaw, 52 minutes, try up a week, equalises in 77, Madison wins it. Those that went, I wasn't at that game, speak scathingly of the second half performance. And there in one game, that game there probably sums up our year. Okay, first half, appalling second half. But oddly, we had a win over Barnsley in the FA Cup. I'm going to discount any FA Cup nonsense from last season. We then drew at Preston, and then the season turner came. The season turner being that away game. Harry and I went up there for it on the 20th of January last year, this year. An away win, 4-3 in a game that swung backwards and forwards like a yo-yo. And for good reason, I've used the winning goal in my opening title sequence this season because it was so dramatic, it was so wonderful. It was so very Millwall that one game for me sums up the Millwall supporting career where you go 2-0 up and contrive to go 3-2 down against 10 men and somehow scratch your way back. Courtesy, incidentally, of Tom Elliott that day, because it was his equalising goal that put us back into the mix. Again, a mixture of emotions. Mixture of emotions towards the players now. What a run that began. It began the 17-game unbeaten run that took us going into the game in 16th position, up through eventually to finish in 8th spot. Via a succession of draws, unlikely draws, 0-0 at Derby, I'm looking at 30th of Jan, the midweek game, I didn't go to that one. Wins at Reading, 2-0, draws at Cardiff, wins, and then three wins on a spin, Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, and Burton away. I went to that one in February. Scratchy old game, but somehow we scratched to win rather than scratch to get beat or throw away points. That day, a home draw against Sunderland on the 3rd of March. I must admit,
at that point, whatever glimmerings of outside ideas of, you know, the playoffs I had, that draw left us 11th that day in March. And I thought, well, that's probably not a bad end point for the season, didn't you? I thought if we finished mid-table, having put together a little run, got away from the relegation zone that we could easily have got sucked into, I was going to settle for mid-table. After that, we went on, what was that, 1, 2, 3, 4 straight wins. Hull, Brentford at home, we rode our luck against Brentford. Barnsley away, went up for that one, 2-0. That was in the snow up there in mid-March. Barnsley, 2-0 win. Home, 2-0 win over Forest. And then suddenly we're rocking, aren't we? We're starting to believe in this nonsense. Eighth position as we left March going into April. Madness. Then it was lunacy. I mean, obviously we had the whole Tim Cahill thing, who wasn't playing very often. The team that took us into that game on March the 30th at Forest, Archer, who had his critics all season, giving spilling goals. Marlon Romeo, James Meredith, Sean Williams, Sean Hutchinson, Jake Cooper, Jed Wallace, George Saville, the only real difference, George Saville, now gone, Lee Gregory, Steve Morrison, Ben Marshall. So Bart Marshall and Saville being the two-man difference, and then the bench, O'Brien, Onya Dimmer, Tunnicliffe, Shackell and Martin, I played. Now, that run was entirely thanks to, it now seems, in retrospect, the efforts of George Saville and Ben Marshall linking up well with the efforts of Jed Wallace, because those are the only two differences between that game at Hunton Forest at the end of March. And then obviously we've got a draw at Ipswich. A couple of wins, Bristol City and Bolton, and Sheffield United away 1-1, left us in a position where we're having to face Fulham on the night of Friday the 20th. We're in sixth spot going into that game. Playoff zone. Mental. We actually was, you know, we were all seriously thinking about an outside shot at the Premier League. As it was, we finally met our match that night. I think it was probably a fair result in the end. I still think our season and this year ended with Ryan Sessegnon's goal in the 46th minute. A punt from outside the box. I think he broke forwards from memory down the left. It was a shot from outside the penalty area. Spilled by Jordan Archer, and it was Sessegnon who put away the rebound. And then shortly after, we were 2-0 down by McDonald. Mitrovic finishing the job in the 89th minute. Every effort, every part of the kitchen sink got thrown at Fulham that night. It was an apocalyptic night at the Den. I can still remember the atmosphere of that first half. And sadly, it wasn't to be. And in the end, we petered away with a loss at Middlesbrough. No, the players were empty, gas tank empty, and Aston Villa was a meaningless final rubber. So it was an unexpected run. It was unlikely. It was all very Millwall. And, of course, in the end, it finished with, in disappointment. And I think for me, I don't know how you feel, dear listeners, but that really was the end of the year. This season, 2018-19, after the dramatics, the Tim Cahill influence, the influence of Ben Marshall on the wing, and then, of course, the loss of George Saville at the start of the season, it's felt rather like the day after the Lord Mayor's parade. It's been a very disappointing season. We've played okay in parts. It's been very hard for us all, fans, I think players and possibly even management, to get things kick-started. Not too much to dwell on, really, this season, other than the succession of defeats. Four successive defeats through September. QPR, West Brom, Fulham, Sheffield United. Scratched wins here and there so far. And as we close 2018, after the dramatics of last term, the loss of George Saville, obviously the failure to sign Ben Marshall, it has been paltry fair, hard going this season. And yesterday's game, as we've already summed up, probably sums up the season. We're clinging on at the moment, dear listeners, and we have two critical games to come over the forthcoming weekend. Saturday, We're at home to Forest. I'm going to miss that game. I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks. Going to miss Ipswich. We need points. We need to avoid defeat against Forest, and we need something from the game at Ipswich. And then we also need to get the recruitment team working to bring in a striker. We need our defence to be solidified. Again, yesterday, I felt Shane Hutchinson has suffered more from this injury than I think we probably all accounted for. He's not recovered his mentality, confidence, whatever you want to call it. And then we need to really focus hard with the return of Ben Thompson. That's a must, isn't it? Don't you agree? I can't believe that we'll leave a midfielder playing well in a team doing well in League One that's on our contract when we are desperate for someone to take control of midfield. And I can't really see a place for Ryan Leonard if Ben Thompson returns. So we need desperate up front, someone to strengthen defence, some experience in defence to take control, and Ben Thompson back in midfield to bring the Ben Thompson factor. And then we need to look to start to win half of the games that remain in the season and avoid defeating as many as possible. And hopefully we'll have enough in our locker room to survive. And that's all we can really hope for. I don't think we can expect anything like last season's heroics. But striker, defender, Ben Thompson, and a good dose of prayers to whatever deity you believe in, dear listeners. I don't believe in any personally, but there we are. So there you have it. That's Akdong Millwall for 2018. This will be the last show of 2018. I will be returning in probably about mid-January. If I can make it, I'm going to get up to Middlesbrough on the 19th. That'll be when the next show comes along. I'm leaving the Love Sport Radio in the good hands of Michael Avery. And that show will continue for the next few weeks. I'll be back on that, hopefully, during the week of leading up to the Middlesbrough game. So big thank you to Michael. Big thank you to the entire team that helped me with Love Sport. That's Harry, that's Michael, that's Sam, that's Danielle, that's Lucas, and, of course, Aaron Paul, and Porrick Birmingham, who produces the radio show. Really enjoyed doing that. I hope you enjoy listening to it. Do stay tuned for that. The Akdong Millwall podcast will be returning to cover the remainder of the season. We'll get back, which would be mid-Jan. So until then, dear listeners, I'm going to wish you the very best new year. Let's keep our fingers crossed for the Lions, death-defying relegation struggles. We wouldn't have any other way than dramatic, would we, dear listeners? Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. And here's to a better 2019. Arrivederci, Millwall.
You've been listening to Octoon Millwall, the CBL Magazine podcast. That's the Millwall news this week, and we are out of here.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.